Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Tonight is pretty interesting as far as what I want to share with you. I probably like some of you in here, I've been on the journey for a long time in my relationship with the Lord and knowing Him and walking in His ways and messing up and making mistakes and doubting and wondering, man, am I doing the right thing? And of course, the Lord always brings me back to the times of encounter with Him. And so tonight, I want to get real personal about your journey and my journey and kind of challenge you and challenge myself about what are you up against regarding your affections? Where is your affections being generated? Where is your curiosity being generated? What's taking a lot of your time? I want you to think about it. Really think about it. Because I want to be very candid about my journey and the journey that I believe I see the Church of Jesus Christ in. I believe the church is at a crossroads. Well, what if I just said this to you guys? Let's just take everything, church, everything, every relationship, every trial, everything that we have, and just put it to the wayside. All of our relationships, family, friends. And let's really focus in on, do I really know this man, Jesus? Do I really know Him? Am I real passionate about really knowing Him? Think about your energy. Think about the things that you do on a day-to-day basis. Do you put... Now, this is what they would call in the old school meddling time, you know, getting a little too close for comfort here, Bob. But do you put more emphasis and energy on other relationships or maybe making sure that you get to that TV screen to watch that one show? As you do, being in the Word of God and knowing the Lord. And knowing Jesus and being with Jesus. Do you put more emphasis on playing music? Or do you put more emphasis on working out? When you have passion for a relationship, for an individual, you want to do everything you possibly can to do what? To know that individual, right? Right? You want to know them. You want to know all about them. And I'm challenging myself and all of us tonight about really changing the direction of our day-to-day passions, our day-to-day affections, and ask the Lord to help us to look in the Word of God and be like, oh, that's Jesus? Jesus did that? I never read that. Are you kidding me? And be like, see, even I think the Gospels are almost like where we don't even pay attention to them as much anymore or read them as much anymore. Man, Apostle Paul, that's great stuff. But the Gospels reveal who He is and that God is giving. See, I think for, now I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. Let me just say about, let me use me. I think that sometimes I get so distracted about the things I need to do or the activities that I can be involved in regarding religious activities or whatever it may be, going here, doing this, then I do sometimes just being before the Lord and being in His Word to know who this man Christ Jesus is. We walk away. We walk away from those opportunities to know Him. You know why we do? Because for some reason, they almost, the Bible seems boring to us at times. And God's saying, I want to fascinate you with who I am. And I'm going to tell you this, guys and gals. If you're not fascinated with Him, even right now, or you're just kind of just going through the motions, I'm not trying to be popular, or as my dad used to say, poplar, to try to keep you in church. So I want to say this. If you're not fascinated right now, something is going to fascinate you. And if you're not fascinated and really desiring to know Him more, something is going to get your attention and pull you away from being a fiery, relational believer in Christ. You know, if you look at the Gospel of John, you see passion and intimacy bring us into a place of true identity so that we can walk out a destiny in Christ. God has so many plans for you, so many blessings for you. He has so much available to you and to me. But it comes from a place of knowing Him and trusting Him. Too many people try to claim it, name it, do whatever they can, and they do all these showy things about how they know God and they're going to do this, but they lack, and I'm telling you because they've been in the counseling services with me or sessions with me, and they lack knowing Him. And they'll come up short and saying, man, I got lost on the journey. I knew Him. I was close to Him. Or I'm embarrassed kind of not to talk about Him a whole lot in front of everybody because I don't want them to think I'm weird or I'm different. Especially in school, especially in different groups. If you're not bold, and boldness comes in a lot of different ways. Boldness is just not opening your mouth and shouting about Jesus. Boldness is giving a cup of cool water in the name of Jesus Christ in any situation. God wants you to be able to have that relationship that you can function and be bold. And guess what? Secure and fearless. There is no fear. The most dangerous people on the planet are people that want to sit at His feet and get to know Him. Do you know how many folks that I've heard that have spoken to me and through testimonies have gotten just burned out and burned up being in ministry? And they'll all tell you the same thing. I got away from Him. They got into real bad situations. And those situations come because they no longer cultivated a passionate, intimate relationship with knowing Christ. I'm just telling you how it is. I don't believe. I really don't. Don't get mad at me. I don't believe the body of Christ is ready for what's coming. Some are. Not everyone, but I don't believe they are. You know why? Because there is a war brewing on the horizon. And if you don't see it, if you don't hear it, you're blind. And you're not in tune with what's going on. It's happening all around us. And there's got to be a warring, and I know some guys don't like this, a warring bride that begins to arise with her understanding of who Christ is. And she will not shrink back. There's a video that somebody showed on YouTube, and I'm just going to show this little video. It's just a little clip. Just about this woman that is standing in her authority. Probably some of you have seen it. hopefully.
Story you're seeing first on Fox, new dramatic video showing the kindness of a stranger. Police say it shed some
Stop
light
it.
On a string of bizarre incidents on SEPTA's broad.
Okay, there's a woman right there. You see her right in the middle. And there's a man that's kind of out of his head on the left there. And he's wanting to have access to a lady that's holding her little baby. The lady is taking her baby to the doctor because the baby was having some sort of medical problem. And this man does not know that lady or the baby. And this woman stands between them. Now, let me just share this before we get into this a little bit. This woman stands between, not because she is Superman or Spider-Man or the Hulk. I can go on and on. She stands between this man and that baby because she knows her authority in Christ. And she's not going to let this man have his way with this baby. Go ahead, play it again.
Street line. You can see a bystander as she helps protect the young woman and her baby from a man authorities say would later go on to attack a SEPTA officer. Fox 29's Seanette Wilson talked to that Good Samaritan tonight. Seanette?
Well, Ian, this woman said she could not stand by and risk a mother and her newborn baby getting hurt. She stood between a man who later proved to be violent when police say he left this particular incident and attacked a SEPTA cop soon after.
Every time I was blocking him, I was saying, the blood of Jesus is against you.
Tamika Bates is the woman seen in this surveillance video on a SEPTA train, boldly standing between a woman holding her week-old baby girl and a man allegedly harassing her.
I said, Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You will not touch this woman.
Tamika says she and the woman both got on at Erie Avenue. She noticed the suspect, who police have identified as 40-year-old Stephen Mason, following the woman as she sat down, then got up and moved.
He asked, could he see the baby? And she ignored him. Then he asked again, oh, you're not going to let me see the baby? And she looked up at him and said, no. So that upset him a little bit. Then he went to go reach to move the blanket. But she shooed his hand away.
As others sat by and watched, Tamika says she felt compelled to help.
And I said, miss, just stay with me and I'll protect you. I have you covered. Don't worry.
Watch the suspect standing behind Tamika as she moves side to side to shield the woman. She says Mason didn't appear to be right as he repeatedly tried to talk to the woman.
He said, the rats are coming. They're coming to get us. They're coming to get us. Look, you need to go with me.
When the train stopped at Susquehanna and Dauphin, Tamika, who is a minister at Resurrection Evangelistic Church, said the woman broke down crying as she escorted her off the train. Mason stayed behind.
I didn't fear what was in him because I knew the greater being within me could defeat what was actually in him.
Incredible, right? So the mother was reportedly taking her baby to Temple Hospital because she wasn't breathing right when this happened. Tamika says knowing now what the suspect is accused of still would not change what she did to help that woman. Seanette Wilson, Fox 29 News. Dawn?
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Has anybody seen that video? Some of you seen it? Okay. What do you think of that? Okay. Let me share some. Let me mess with you a little bit. Okay. Where the Lord is taking us as a people has nothing to do with black and white, Hispanic, Asian, nothing, nothing. It has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans. It has nothing. We cannot be the body that God called us to be if we allow emotions and what people say to dictate to us to be a part of this group or that group. The kingdom of God is colorblind in all areas. That was a woman of color, as they would say, helping a white woman of color. I want to point that out because it sickens me to know that people will be devoted because of color more than devoted to Jesus and what is right. Our government from a long time ago is corrupt. It is. It's not true justice. My son, I can talk about him now, Because when he's here and I talk about him, I get the wrath of the Son. He just thinks it's terrible. You embarrass me again, you know. I'm like, that was an embarrassment. So anyway, he's not here. And so don't anybody tell him that I spoke about him. I'll tell him. So Caleb is listening to Cassidy Fritz on Sunday morning. He has been a corporate attorney for me since 1994. He has been a law professor, and he is a radical man for Jesus. And when I go to do any business with him, with an hour window, it's 10 minutes business and 50 minutes about Jesus. That's all we talk about, is Jesus. And we get excited. My son sat here, and on the way home, when he got home, he said, "No offense, Dad." I go, "Uh-oh." "No offense, Dad. I could listen to Cassidy Fritz for hours." He's 14. I said, "No offense taken. So could I." And I said, "So what did you get out of that message?" And he said, "This is what I got." He said, "If I just want to sum it up, it's this. There is no justice apart from God. God's law and God's grace and his love. That is true justice. So if we think we can build a justice system apart from God, we're all fooling ourselves. Because only God's justice is true justice." I said, "I think you got it. I think you got it." And I got it. And so my point, I'm coming back around to this place of knowing Christ. And how do you become intimate with God? And Lord, I need help to start reading this and getting excited. Like look at 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning," see, now I'm going to read it a little differently. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. You mean that Jesus was in the beginning? Yeah. And he is the Word? Yeah. And he was in the beginning with God, the Father, the Son, all this? All things came into being through him. Who? Jesus? Yes. Everything came into being through who? Jesus. And you go, "Are you kidding me?" Or you go, "He was in the beginning, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Do you see how you could just read through that? Because you're not allowing yourself or even praying, "Lord, let your word come alive. Let it come alive that I would know who you are, Jesus. Who is this man that pursues me with his love? Who is he?" And then you start reading the word and you're going, "Wow, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And go over, if you go over to John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Who is that? That's Jesus. "And and we saw his glory," his goodness, "glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, 'This was he whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ.'" Wow. And then you go over to verse 44. Little story. Nathanael sitting underneath a tree, an olive tree. Wow, you mean Jesus saw him? Jesus wasn't there, but he saw him? And he says, "Now Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets, they wrote about him.'" You mean they wrote about Jesus in the Old Testament? Yes. "Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me? How do you know me?" Jesus answered and he said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What happened? Jesus saw him. Nathanael probably experienced something underneath and goes, "Oh, what is this?" You hear what I'm saying? I don't know, but it sounds like it. Because it's just too simple for him to all of a sudden say, "You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah." He must have experienced something because he was seeking God. And then when he testified that "I saw you," it changed his whole life. How many times has God seen you sitting somewhere praying? I mean, for real, weeping, crying, humbling yourself. How many times has God seen you run from him? You see, God is wanting us to be in relationship. What takes up all your affection? The road is real wide that leads to destruction. The road is wide. We were talking earlier. It's like, you know, Times Square in New York. It's wide. It's huge. It's big. But the path is pretty narrow that leads to the ways of God. And it says what? So this is no surprise. Few find it. Few find it. Let me just share a few more things with you. Our love and our passion for Jesus has to be rooted in the truth of what I just read, in the understanding that the Bible is speaking about him. And so our passion and our relationship is rooted in finding out more about who he is in the Bible and reading it and being excited. When you're anchored in that place of passion, you can find your identity in Christ. But if you're not anchored in passion to know him, guess what? Your zeal for Christ will flee away from you. And you won't have it. And all of a sudden, it's going to be a hollow relationship. Intimacy, get this, guys and gals, intimacy must be based on the knowledge of who Jesus is. So that you know this is who he is, and this is who he is to me. Not so much to everybody, but to me, this is who he is. And that knowledge of knowing him, guess what? Not knowledge that puffs you up. Knowledge of just knowing this individual that you're close to. Guess what it does? It fuels your passion. It's fuel for you. When you read about him and know him, it begins to fuel your passion and your love and your relationship. And we must be intimate. We got to be intimate with Jesus if we want to know the deeper levels of knowing him. I know it was hard for some of you to get here tonight. But I'm not talking just about tonight. Matter of fact, tonight is very little, to be honest with you. It's very little. It's for encouraging you. It's for challenging you. It's for giving you an opportunity. See, I've learned that, man, my worship doesn't depend upon how good a worship team is. Mine doesn't. Because I can get in that moment with him wherever I am if I just begin to focus on who he is. And the Lord's taught me, it doesn't matter if people are jumping, doesn't matter if they're screaming, doesn't matter if they're quiet, doesn't matter if they don't raise their hands or they're all raising their hands, you can enter into a place with me if you desire to. Now, when the anointing is there, it does help. And when there's anointed worship leaders, it does help. But I don't depend upon that. Guess why? Because Michael Johnson is not with me 24/7. He's with me a couple days a week, and I get to experience worship as he leads worship. So if I'm dependent on Michael Johnson to get me into a relationship with Christ, I am absolutely fooling myself. Michael Johnson's gift of being a worship leader opens up a door for me to go deeper if I'll take the opportunity to take hold of it And that means anywhere. Anywhere you go. So every day, I have to take hold of a relationship with Christ. Every day. And if I don't do that, I get consumed by what is around me. And I'm no longer strong in Christ. I'm beginning to regress and become empty. Oh, and this is what happens. When that happens, I become critical. I become pointing the finger. I become, we need some rules and regulations to make sure those people stay in their place. Instead of in the place of freedom, in the place of love. You see, what that lady did, this is biblical. And so if you live in a la-la land, sorry, don't mean to offend anybody, but if you do, sorry for this, because this is going to hurt you a little bit. What you just saw is going to continue to happen and increase. It is biblical. So where will you stand? And who will you be? And who will you be with? You see what I'm saying? This is like, if you depend, you know, I've got to be in a Pentecostal setting to really worship. You know, I've got to be in the cathedral where it's so reverent to worship. Now put it down. God shows up. My first baptism of the Holy Spirit was in a Catholic church, sitting at an altar about 12, 1 o'clock at night, and golden lights on a crucifix, and a charismatic Catholic priest praying for the Holy Spirit to fill me and baptize me, and it happened. I love that testimony, because it really messes with Protestants. Who are they? I'm serious. Who are they? We're the body of believers. We're Christians. We're called to fellowship together. Where you see men and women controlling church situations, you're going to see a lot of downward spiral. How do I want to say this? You're going to see a lot of decrease. I don't want to see decrease, but I'm saying you're going to see decrease because people still are building their own kingdoms. And people still think that church has to be a certain way. I got to share something with you. You may never come back. I'm really not a good pastor. Matter of fact, my pastoring skills aren't all that great. They're not. Especially according to what we know as a pastor should be in the system we've been in. We have great pastors around here, people that shepherd. Now, I do have a shepherding heart. And I do like to pastor. But I found that I pastor better in the marketplace and the meeting place than I do on Sunday morning. That's not a bad thing for me. Might be for you, but not for me. Because God wants me to be free in who I'm called to be. Many people will get saved and be very excited and get in the church. And this is another hard thing. Now, I'm not the church. He loves the church. We are called to be the church. But many people will get saved and get in the church, and they'll fall into being cloned to be a certain way in that church. Matter of fact, they'll be taught how to become really good hypocrites. Because you need to act this way. Say, oh, you never say that. You don't want to be real. Oh, my gosh. As a leader, you never want to be, you know, real with the people. You save that for, you know, in closed doors. Why am I saying all this? Sounds like if I ever needed a soapbox, I need one tonight, right? Why am I saying all this? I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm saying this to say the church is at a crossroads. The people of God are at a crossroads. There are things shifting. And if you don't have your own passionate, intimate relationship with Christ, if you don't set, you say, how do I do it? Well, go to Psalm 27 and read Psalm 27. It talks about sitting in the presence of God, meditating before the Lord, getting a time to just lay aside some time to be with him, to listen to him. He is the greatest encourager of all. And I'll tell you this, if you don't desire to be free and to be real, you'll be stuck. Jesus is the healer. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the one that can bring you into freedom. He's the one that can restore your marriage. He's the one that can forgive you completely and absolutely of every bit of your sin and turn your life around. But being part of a teen challenge ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. Teen Challenge is a great place. Now, I might get in trouble for saying that. It's a great organization. They're doing some amazing things. But if you don't develop your relationship with Jesus, you'll cycle right back into where you were. You'll cycle right back to the same stinking place because you didn't have the relationship. If you are in a habit of mocking people and making fun or being critical, God wants you to stop it. And he wants you to be humble and love people no matter what they have done to you. God wants you to forgive, and you leave the judgment to God. See, I'm excited because I believe a message like what I'm speaking is a message that's beginning to infiltrate the entire body of Christ. And they're beginning to understand, whew, there is something great. The Word of God says that there is a massive harvest coming. I can tell you this, that harvest is not coming by a bunch of theatrical, hyped-up preachers. It's coming because the Holy Spirit is settling down and moving through vessels that have been saying yes and cultivating an intimate lifestyle with Christ that become bold. I've only been in one time I was in a region where revival had truly broke out. Because everybody says, okay, we're going to have revival night. We're going to have a week of revival. I've never understood that. How can you turn? Now, people get saved. That's good. And I have no problem with that. I think that's great, and it's great meetings. But how can you just have a week of revival, okay, and just say, okay, revival's over? I don't get that. There's a lot of stuff I don't get that I'm going to start talking about that I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble about. But I don't care because I want people to start, you know, if I say anything up here, press me, challenge me by the Word of God. You're supposed to. You don't take anything I say without challenging me in the Word of God. But there is a great harvest coming for all of us. There's a great outpouring of God. And we will know that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound thinking mind. We will know who we are in Christ. Like that woman. That's kind of a scary situation. Can you imagine how that gal felt with her little baby when this huge guy is trying to, I heard another thing where it said, he said, I just want to see the baby's eyes. You know that was demonic, you know? And this woman is standing her ground. What if three anointed worshipers, when Katrina hit, went into the dome and began to worship God radically? What would it have done to the whole climate inside that place? Here's another thing. You do not depend upon man for your worth or your provision. You depend upon God. Don't get caught in that trap. And if you're in the marketplace and you have a business, more power to you. We need more Christians in the marketplace. It says that when, there's a scripture, I can't remember where it's at, I'll have to get it for you. But it says that when men and women can't earn value for their lives, like if they can't earn something of earning like money or something for their worth, they just begin to just spiral down. Never have a spirit of poverty, but have a spirit of overcoming and knowing God will take you through journeys. Sometimes we say every bit of somebody's sick, you know, going through something, and we say it's the devil, it's the devil, it's the devil, it's the devil, and we come against the devil. And God has allowed something to happen to an individual so they can go deep in the place of intimacy in the wilderness of God and become broken. And all of a sudden start having affections for Jesus like they never had before because they went through a trial. Some of you have lost loved ones that have broken you. But again, if you have a relationship and you know who He is, you know that whatever loved ones you've lost, there is a great reunion coming if they know Him. See, this is the kingdom culture. We're moving into the kingdom age, people. The kingdom age, not the church age, because God is going to allow things to happen that's going to set up His coming so that His justice will be lived out. And don't worry. It's okay to say this. You've probably said it. I've said it. Man, I hope He doesn't come for a while because I really want to live life a little bit more and do, you know, just say that. And it's okay. My boys say, man, I want to have a family first. Come on. What do you keep talking to? Jesus coming back. I can't even have a family, you know. And I take some flack for that. But I tell him, I said, you know what? You have no clue. And I don't either. But I guarantee you, when He comes back, whatever you thought you missed or lost is going to be like, oh my gosh, what took you so long? You know? And there He is. And He's coming back to set up everything for you and for me. But we've got to know Him. We've got to know Him. I said a lot of, you could maybe say, kind of negative things. Not really. I don't think they're negative. I think they're just making you aware of things that are coming. This is the last thing, and then I'll close. Man, I had so much to share from my notes, and I shared only a little bit from it. Maybe I'll find something in here. I had a lot of scripture, too. But let me say this last thing. A lot of people don't really understand the relationship that we need to have with Israel. This is one of the big slippery slopes that you're going to see happen. And it's already happening. The covenant that Abraham made, and when he spoke to Pharaoh, and he said, when Pharaoh was on his sick bed and going through the pain of the curse of God, Abraham said, I know this one thing, that my God said, those who bless me, bless Israel, and our people will be blessed, and those who curse us will be cursed. Now that covenant has not changed. It will never change. Now, Israel has done some wild things. And sometimes, stay with me just on this one point. Let me try to get this. Sometimes when we see the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians and the things going back and forth, we're thinking, how could they be that? How could they be God's people? Because our human compassion begins to get in the way of what we think's right and what's wrong, okay? But you see, again, when you know Jesus of the Bible and you know the Word, you know that Israel is going to be established and that all the nations are going to rise up against Israel at the end, and it will show us what time it is. But here's what's happening. Here's what's happening right now. Massive amounts of Christians in large churches are beginning to adopt a replacement theology. And what they are doing, they are saying Israel was then, but not now. And they are training their people to stand not with Israel, but against Israel. That is happening right now. And it's rampant. And if I told you some of the churches and the leaders, you would be shocked. Now, are they bad people? No, I don't think so at all. I think right now they're deceived in that one area. They may be doing some other great things. But can you see the slippery slope happening? Then all of a sudden when everybody rages, and why are they raging? Because of political reasons and not the Word of God and kingdom reasons. So they've been swayed, and you know, I can throw scripture at you all night long that says that they will be. And they won't hunger for the truth anymore. So you say, well, man, how are we gonna get through this? How are we gonna make it? With intimacy, with knowing Christ, with getting up in the morning and having your tea or your coffee or whatever you have, and just being with Him. He's new every morning. Most people today are so caught up, again, in media, their phones and everything else, that it distracts them from a lot of time that they could be spending with Jesus. That's why He wants to take a whole generation of young people and distract them away from the ways of God. There will be a mighty army of God. They will be young, they will be middle-aged, they will be old, and they will be of every race in the planet, on the planet. And again, the lines being drawn, and I'm just warning you, the safest place to be is in the grace of God and in the relationship with Christ and knowing Christ, trusting Him. When somebody goes to another church and they come to Voice or they leave Voice, I always I say this to them. I want to bless you, especially if they leave in good, you know, it's good reason because their season is over here, and that's okay. And I said, I want to bless you, but this is what I want to challenge you with. Make sure wherever you go, you're being challenged about your root system. The roots of faith, hope, and love. The knowledge of God and intimacy with Christ. And if you're not, be careful. Because that's what's going to make it through the days ahead. That wasn't too bad. But I hope you hear my heart more than anything today. You know, there's so many scriptures. Know the Word, know Him, the Word, and spend time with Him. And if you think, again, like I said, nothing's going to make you through get you through the days ahead except knowing Christ and knowing His Word and standing upon the Word of God. I want you guys to stand. Let me read this. There was one scripture that I wanted to read. Where did I have it? Oh, it's Colossians 2:9. Just part of it says, for in Him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. In who? In Christ. That means all the riches, all the wisdom, everything is found in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for the men and the women that came out tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask for You to go with them, to encourage them. Lord, we know that You want to awaken us to be worshipers, to be intimate with You, a real truth revealed intimacy. And so, God, I ask that hunger would arise in us. I ask that tonight some of the things that were spoken would go deep. I ask, Lord, that no one would allow any condemnation to come in whatsoever. Because You said, Lord, that there is no condemnation in You. Only life and love and forgiveness and grace. But Lord, let us take heed to what might have been spoken to change the direction, and that our affection would be challenged, and that our affections would be before You and on You. Thank You again, God, for this evening. Because You said where two or more gathered, that You would be in their midst. And so we thank You, Lord, that You're here. We thank You for Your word. Bless these wonderful people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.